Hi there, everyone. This is Donna Fox. We're starting a little bit late and hope you're all having a wonderful evening. You're listening to Akashic Wisdom, the show that talks about the Akashic Records. We talk about your life. We talk about love. We talk about careers. We talk about whatever the Akashic Record Keepers want us to talk about. And this show is as good as your questions. So you can either email questions to me. That would be great. You can email me your questions at info@akashicwisdom.com. That's AKASHICWISDOM .com. So it's info, info at akashicwisdom.com. Or tonight you can call in at, I hope the phones are working. It's 800, numbers in the U.S. and Canada. So in the U.S., it's 877-876-5227. Or if you're calling from Canada, you can call 888-815-9756. Or if you're out of the country or want to call direct, you can dial 530-876-3222 in our area code 01. So we started late a little bit. We had a bit of a power surge there. And so we've got some interesting energy showing up tonight. Interesting energy. And so what we're going to talk about tonight, until you call in questions, and again, this show is as good as your questions. So please call in, ask questions about your life, ask questions about why your life is the way it is, if you need guidance. We're here for you. One of the things that came forward right before we went on the air was the essence and the working with the healing orbs. Now, there's been a lot of folks that have seen the orbs, and you've seen, like, these wonderful spheres of light on different photographs. And so right before we went in, we started, I was calling in the spheres of light. And one of the things that came forward, not only from the records, but in this healing time, you know, we are in a major healing time on the planet right now. You know, every year, right around Christmas time, people start shifting their attitudes. And what's interesting about shifting their attitudes has to do with their, you know, we look at the Christmas time or the time for giving, etc. And I wonder, and I've wondered this since I was a little kid, and I wanted to talk to the record keepers about it, and I'd love to get your input on this, is that people seem to be so much more quote-unquote giving at this time of the year. It's almost like, you know, you have newspapers or have special programs and things are, you know, you have gift giving. And I guess what I'm so curious about is why now? And it was like there are some people naturally that are wonderful philanthropists and they give all the rest of the year, et cetera, et cetera. But have you noticed that people are more focused now on the homeless, and they're more focused about giving during the holidays, you know, starting in Thanksgiving and moving on to the new year? Everybody is so focused on it. And then as soon as the holidays are done, the focus seems to wane. It's like it doesn't get any warmer after New Year's. In fact, in the area where I live, which is Ohio, it gets colder. And yet we focus on giving only in around a, you know, a four or five week time frame here. I mean, really major giving and stuff like that. And I always wonder why that is. So I asked the record keepers, and what they're saying is, which is kind of interesting, is that this time of the year, the energies, and they begin in at Thanksgiving around that area. And again, we're talking about the energies here in the U.S. In the U.S. Thanksgiving, which is in November. But the energies come forward and to the point that everyone is trying to make peace with their own inadequacies. And I'm not saying that giving to the poor or giving to the homeless is not a wonderful thing, because it is a wonderful thing. What they're saying, though, is that many times when people give to these causes, they give because they, quote-unquote, think they should, rather from the joy of giving. And I want you to examine your life or your aspect of giving. Now, do you, and again, many times people give because it's the end of the year and they have to, they want deductions on their taxes, you know. So there's a lot of different reasons, and there's a lot of different motivations for giving. And you can really tell where you're at in giving because you come to a place, and the reason I want you to examine this is that when you see a homeless person on the street, do you walk past them, or do you give them a dollar? Do you take the stuff, you know, like the food that you didn't eat at the restaurant, home with you, and on the way, do you, instead of taking it really home, do you give it to a guy that or a woman that's on the street with a cart that doesn't have a place to go? So the idea here is, this is the time for us to examine our motivation and ability to give. Because when we look at our motivation to give, we then have to turn that around and look at our willingness to receive. They are both in play here. And the willingness to receive is in direct relationship to your willingness to give. Now, I'm not talking about people taking advantage of you. I'm not talking about people that are that you just don't know how to say no to. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is the relationship between your feeling joyful about giving and sharing and your ability to joyfully receive. I'd just like you to take a look at that. I was also reading somewhere this week, and the record keepers are reminding me of this, is that our ability to manage time is in direct relationship to our ability to manage money. And because it has to do with creating balance in our life. Do you ever think about that? That you have the ability, I mean, did you walk around sometimes feeling overwhelmed, like there's not enough time, hours in the day, and you feel like you haven't, quote-unquote, budgeted your time well? Do you feel that you, quote-unquote, waste time? Do you feel like sometimes time slips through your fingers? So what's interesting to note is that, and I'm just going to take a couple of those dots, and notice how your willingness to give, your willingness to receive, your feeling around time, all of those issues are directly related to your willingness or your ability to maintain, dollars. They're all related. And so I'd like you just to take a look at that in your life. And if you have questions about how that works, give a call. And hopefully the phones are working. And if they're not, I hope somebody tells me. But the phones should be working, and I would love to have a conversation with someone about the relationship between time and money, or receiving money, and or the relationship between giving and receiving. Because when we take a look at the different aspects of our life, we see that everything is interrelated. There is nothing that is not related. And our attitudes towards all of this are very important. So I'd like you just to kind of think about that. It's an essay that I'd like to be able to move along and move into a little bit more deeper with the record keepers. But we have an email question here that I'm going to look at. And the question is, please ask the record keepers about the reason for male dominance over women in recorded history. That's a fascinating question. Very interesting question. Okay. Let me ask. All right, hold on here. Great, we got some questions coming up. So we want to ask, what is the reason for male dominance over women in recorded history? The energy of the male. Whoops, I was about to. Hello, who's this?
Oh, hi, Donna. My name's Rebecca. How are you?
I'm good, Rebecca. How are you?
I'm doing great, thanks.
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from California.
Great. What city?
San Francisco.
Great. Look, I was just there last weekend.
Oh, uh-huh.
Yeah. So how can we help you tonight?
Well, that's an interesting topic about pulling those three things together.
What I first
flashed on, though, about time is, isn't time kind of a three-dimensional thing that we have created to have structure in this dimension?
Well, yeah, it is. In other words, like, time only exists in our dimension.
Right.
In other words, like, but the interesting thing about it is that we've also, if you look at it, though, time is energy, and so is money.
Correct.
And the way we manage both has a lot to do with our ability to receive. As well as our ability to give. Because what the record keepers are saying is that when you allow yourself and give yourself enough time to balance your life, you are then willing to receive the abundance and prosperity of the universe. Because you're able to give yourself the time to contemplate, to be grateful, to slow down, to embrace. And when we rush around so much and feel overwhelmed, it's as if we're saying to the universe, I can do this all myself. I've got to do it all myself. I have no idea how I'm going to do this all myself. I'm totally overwhelmed. And do you see the difference?
I totally see what you're saying. When you're using it as a form of energy.
Yes.
And how when we're kind of whirling around like a top.
Right.
Energy is being deflected off of us.
Correct.
Right. Okay. No, that makes total sense. And I do believe that when it's time for us to slow down, either we do it or it gets done for us.
Or your body, if something will happen, it'll knock you down.
Oh, yeah. I've been in a car accident.
Right.
Or whatever. Something will happen, and it's like getting a wake-up call one way or another.
Right. 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 And what's also interesting is that sometimes, and there was like, we have to look at the financial situation that's happening in this country.
Mm-hmm.
As a wake-up call for us to slow down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've become so obsessed with this now, you know.
Right.
Right, the Internet has really perpetuated that as well.
Yes.
Instant gratification at any expense.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
What's interesting is I know that not only you, but there's others out there, including myself, you know, before we actually had the Internet, or when we first got the Internet and we had dial-up,
mm-hmm.
how thrilled we were with dial-up.
Uh-huh.
Now, if a website takes a longer time to load, we're impatient, and we compare and say, gosh, it's worse than dial-up.
Absolutely. I've seen that with the increase in computer speed.
Yes.
And it's like something that was acceptable maybe 6 months ago is now no longer acceptable. And
right.
It's supposed to be giving us more time because things are happening faster.
Yes.
Actually, it's putting us behind time.
Right.
Yeah.
And so it's really about, you know, in this time, you know, that we started out talking about giving to other people.
Mm-hmm.
But we also have to put ourselves on the list.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we don't give to ourselves, appropriately, not just financially, but also time-wise,
mm-hmm.
that then we don't have enough time to actually sit and reflect and appreciate what I just said earlier.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or enough energy to be able to sit and reflect. That's what I'm going through right now, is feeling like I'm just burned out.
What's going on?
Well, it's just, it has to do with the financial stuff, and it also has to do with the person that has popped up in my life that we do not connect. It'll just be hit and miss all over the place.
Huh.
And it's somebody that I'm checking out a church,
okay.
And this person is supposed to be giving me lessons and teaching, and I was just kind of transferred over to this person about, I don't know, maybe 60 days ago or something.
Uh-huh.
If anything could possibly happen that would prevent us from getting together, it does. And I have just started, like, getting a resentment and hating this person. And
are you hating the person because things are standing in your way and you're saying it's because, tell me why you're hating the person.
Because I feel like they're dropping the ball. It's one of those things that, for some reason, it has to be something from a past that I don't feel like they see me or they hear me.
Uh-huh.
And that is really triggering stuff.
And how is this pattern, where else does this pattern show up in your life?
Oh, it the same feelings I have towards him are the same feelings I had towards my mom.
Huh.
That feeling of not being seen or not being heard.
Right.
Yeah.
And so what I'm getting here from the record keepers is you may want to notice that it's forcing you to do your own self-nurturing and your own self-exploration around your own personal spirituality.
Okay.
You may want to take a look at that. In other words, like, what is this person supposed to be teaching you?
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm asking you that.
Oh, there's a kind of a set of lessons. What's going on is I'm really taking a in-depth look at what some of my beliefs are,
uh-huh.
and how I derive those. And that's, like, pretty close to the core of who I am. And I was working with some other people on that, and then all of a sudden I got shifted into this person, and they don't have a clue about what I'm talking about. You know, we're just not at that same energetic level.
Uh-huh.
But given the way the structure of the church is, I'm supposed to be working with this person. It's, you know, it's the whole hierarchical thing that you should be doing it this way rather than what's the spiritual part, but they focus on kind of like the religious part, if that makes sense.
Well, but it sounds like you're also you're allowing someone else to tell you what your path is.
Absolutely. And it's like, yeah, I don't know. It's just I feel really stuck.
So the question is why are you allowing someone else wait a minute. So first of all, what's happening here is there's a transference in emotion with this person, and it's bringing up stuff that you still have to deal with, that you haven't dealt with, like you said, from your mom.
Yeah.
But the other piece is it's really about getting clear that if things are hard,
yeah,
it's best to let it go.
Okay.
It was like when metaphysical things, or when things in life are meant to be, they flow easily.
Right.
And if in fact it's not flowing easily, you may want to step back and ask, is in fact this methodology what I really want in my life?
Right.
And if it, in fact it is, where can I take my power back to either shift direction so I don't have to work with this person, or I can work with someone that I respect? Because the reality is, is even if you get together with this person, you've already set up the story within yourself, true or not, that you don't respect this person.
Right. Well, I've actually kind of gone around this person and been working with some other people unbeknownst to him. But
yeah, but that's not straight.
Yeah.
And that's not with integrity.
Right.
So that if the person gets hurt by that is you.
Right.
Because that sets up a pocket of shame that you haven't been straight with.
Right.
And what happens is it also sets up a pocket of shame because you're not being honest. You don't feel confident enough in yourself to be honest enough to be straight with this person and say, I'm really not feeling comfortable with the way that things are going here.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm going to request to work with someone else because it feels like, and based on my experience, you really have a lot on your plate and you don't have time.
Mm-hmm.
So is that true? Does that make sense?
Yeah, this person is in over their head, so to speak, and so they're, you know, they just aren't really too sure what's going on. So,
well, but you have to understand that teachers really don't teach; they inspire.
Oh, this person doesn't inspire me. That's for sure.
Then how can you learn?
Right.
So the idea here is it's really about being honest with yourself about what you truly want, isn't it?
Right. Right. Okay.
And then the other piece is if, in fact, you're working with other people that are still a part of this organization and they know you're working with them and this other person doesn't know, so they're also, it's like they're part of the game.
Right, 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 right.
And being part of the game and not being straight, it seems to me that integrity is the most important piece around any type of belief system.
Okay.
And it doesn't sound like you're working out of integrity with these people.
Right.
Is that true? Is that what you're feeling?
You don't have to
agree with me just because it's being said. It's really a conversation here.
Right. I guess part of it is that in this particular religion,
yeah,
if you live in a certain area, you're supposed to go to that certain church. Where in other religions, if you're, you know, you don't have to necessarily go to that church in your neighborhood. You might go to the one across town or something.
Right.
So it's a different structure about it's difficult to try to work with somebody else if you're not in their area. So I don't know. I just, I definitely know that it's been... sure triggering my stuff, and I mean, like, really big time, so.
And how important is it to go to this particular church?
Probably not that important.
I mean, that may be something you want to look at.
Right. Right. Okay.
Yeah, and there was, and the other piece is that it's important for us as humans to look at how we handle free will choice,
mm-hmm.
and how we allow ourselves to be limited.
Okay.
So here you have an organization that says you can't do it your way. You can't do it the way that makes you feel the most loving. You have to do it our way only.
Right. Right, yeah. Other people have pointed that out to me as well.
Yeah.
Like, you know, what are all the rules versus what is the spiritual nurturing and feeding that you're getting?
Yeah. Yeah. I guess my rule of thumb is anytime someone says my way or the highway,
yeah,
I take the highway.
Right, right. There are a lot of things that I really do like about it. Some of this real structured kind of stuff, I don't like as much.
But is it possible that you... Can you attend this particular group without studying with somebody, or you can't do that?
Oh, no, this is if I was going to join the church. You study, and you go through this whole baptism ritual and stuff like that. So,
uh-huh.
No, I mean, I can go for years and not have to do any of that.
Huh.
So, okay. Well, okay. It's me more to think about or be focused on, and I think it all ties in with you were talking about time and energy.
Right.
Are slowing down enough.
Yes.
And going within and getting what the true answers are about what I'm supposed to be doing.
Well, before you even look to what you're supposed to be doing, it's really about going into and getting your true answers about what you want to do.
Okay.
Because when we cloud our being with have to's, shoulds, or supposed to's, we never really examine what we truly want.
Okay.
And it's really about where is your bliss and where is your heart feel the most comfortable. And where does your heart feel the most filled with love and light?
Okay.
And that goes for anything, whether it's a religion, a spiritual group, or a vocation,
mm-hmm.
or a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, like that needs to be the barometer of what feels the best.
Okay.
Because that's where you want to be. You want to be in bliss, right?
Right, right.
That's what we're here to learn.
Okay.
Good. Is this the first time you've listened to the show?
No, I've listened before in the past.
Oh, good.
Yeah, okay. I really enjoy the topics that you bring up and that you discuss, and you kind of put it in a different spin, you know, than other things that I've heard or read, so I really, really appreciate that.
Well, that's great, Jim. I'm glad you've been listening, and thanks for being a listener and a loyal listener, and thanks for calling in. And I hope that your holiday season, however you celebrate it, is meaningful, loving, and miraculous.
Oh, great. And same to you.
Thank you.
Have a good evening.
You too, dear.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, that's wonderful. I mean, I think that we have to have these kind of conversations, not only with other people, with ourselves. You know, it's important that you folks know that when you call in here, as much as we're having a conversation, we're also having a conversation that helps every listener that's out there. Because every time we bring up a topic or every time a person calls in, we are but a microcosm of the macrocosm of the folks that are listening. And we have to understand, and that's why I really want you to know, that please do call in, because there is no quote-unquote stupid question, all right? Because if you're thinking it or feeling it, there's other people that are feeling the same way. So let's go back. We were talking about a listener had asked for a question about why women, okay, were kind of dissed out of the recorded history. And what's interesting, what was about to come forward, is that the male dominance, actually, what I'm hearing in the original books, in the original ways the non-recorded ways, okay, women were very much an integral part. It was when there were, what I'm hearing is there were certain planetary shifts that created an energy that actually moved women into a more powerful energetic place, and that that was seen, and there were situations of jealousy of women becoming too powerful. And that in ancient times, because women were able to give birth, they were considered miracle workers. This is going way back. And it was the miracle of birthing a child that men actually... And again, we're talking about an energetic feeling of inadequacy, needed to be able to be more powerful. And just from a physicality point of view, you know, the dominance was there. But I'm also hearing it had to do with an energetic shift. And it had to do with the jealousy, and I don't know when to go very much deeper into that. So I think I'll do an essay on that one too. That's an interesting topic. We have more questions. There we go. Okay. The question is, please talk more about color orbs and the healing cycle. What do the color colors mean, white, blue, etc.? How do we appreciate this healing, and what are we being asked to do? That's a great question, and that's from Lucita. Thank you, Lucita. Great to hear from you. And please call me offline, because I'd love to talk to you. By the way, for anybody, let me give you my private number for anybody who would like to call me offline and either schedule a consultation with me or whatever, or talk to me about workshops or whatever. My private number is 216-691-1233. Now, obviously, I'm not answering that phone right now because I'm on the air, but you can certainly use that number to call me, leave a message. Again, 216-691-1233, and that phone is available 24 hours a day. It's a confidential voicemail, as well as, and if I'm sitting at my desk, I'll definitely answer the phone. So, again, 216-691-1233, and if you have questions for next week's show, or if you would like to just talk to me offline about something, you're welcome to do that. But I love this question about the orbs here. This is a great question. So talk more about color orbs and the healing cycle. So the different colors, so first of all, we as humans, in some cases, want to attach more meaning than is necessary, and in other ways, we don't attach enough meaning. That's what the record keepers are saying. Regarding the colors, that they're blue and they're white, etc., that has to do with the various healing energies that are within that orb at the time, based on what either the group that's gathered needs or what the human needs. It has to do with an energetic frequency that is being emitted from the orb that is also being reflected by the light. Now, that sounds very interesting. I personally don't have a reference point for that. I'm just telling you what I'm hearing. The other piece here is the way we appreciate this healing is by whenever we see with our eyes, see with our heart. In other words, there's more than one way of seeing these orbs or feeling these orbs or even visioning these orbs. You know, if you were to sit and ask the healing orbs to come forward, they will come forward to you. You can ask that the parts of your body that need to be healed or need to be comforted by these wonderful healing orbs. Now, I'm saying this you have to understand that when we talk about healing, true healing is multidimensional. So, for example, no matter what modality you're using, it's about aligning your own beingness with the willingness to not only receive, but it's also about aligning your beingness to the willingness of being loved. It is very hard for anyone, in fact, it's impossible is what I'm hearing. It's impossible for someone to be healed who has not surrendered to the aspect of receiving love. That's very interesting. Never heard it quite that way. So just think about that. That healing has to do with the surrendering of receiving love. So, for example, if you are trying to heal something that's going on within you or an illness or whatever, if, in fact, you don't feel that you're worthy to receive the healing, my darlings, it's very difficult for the universe to comply for you. Because as soon as the little healing shows up, there's a part of you that goes back to the point of not feeling deserving of it. So it's not about even thinking about whether you deserve it or not. It's really more about surrendering to the willingness of receiving love without strings. So what they're showing me is that for those people that would like to be able to work with these wonderful orbs, to move into a most relaxed position, to actually imagine the opening and lighting of your heart, your heart chakra, like expand it, whatever that means to you. You can imagine a beautiful light in your heart. You can imagine a light that has many facets. You can imagine, and it's not about so much feeling even with the light. So because I know there's some people that actually have a hard time feeling or aligning to the feeling of love. And so this, the idea of healing with the orbs has more to do with the willingness to surrender to the willingness of being loved. You do not have to know how this feels. You just have to be willing to be open to receive. And so the recommendation is what I'm getting right now is for those people who are looking for healing or looking for comfort with the orbs, that you take a position of either lying down or reclining in a rocker, you know, a recliner, or even sitting up, whatever is most comfortable for you, and taking a nice deep breath and moving in to that light in your heart and allowing that light to move up to your crown chakra as well as down to the root chakra and through your legs so that you're grounded as well as you're lighted. And then by just taking nice deep breaths, allowing yourself to just imagine beautiful balls of light moving within you and going where they need to go and allowing that light to be received. That would be the most important piece. And so right now, I suggest that you just take a nice deep breath and close your eyes and allow those beautiful, wonderful healing orbs to move within your body to where your body and your internal organs needs it the most. And as soon as you can think that you can imagine, move deep into gratefulness and say, thank you for being here. Thank you for being here. I am willing to receive. Thank you for being here. I am willing to receive. And so what we are being asked to do is to surrender to the point of light that connects us to our own divinity. Hopefully that will help you. Just take a moment. Just be with it. Just be with it. Because the idea of moving into light is one of the most important pieces you can receive. And so we have a few more minutes left on the program, and there is a gal that emailed a question, and her name is Sandy. And yes, Sandy, I would prefer that you call in so I can talk to you. That would be great. That would be wonderful. So if you could call in, Sandy, that would be wonderful. So we can talk. And the telephone number for those folks who would like to talk would be 877-876-5227. That's in the U.S. Or 888-815-9756 in Canada. Or 530-876-3222. That's anywhere in the U.S. or outside of the country, and our country code is 01. So please do give me a call. One of the things that Sandy is talking about here is it's because her life has imploded and she doesn't recognize it. Comparing 2000, last 8 years, things have kind of really gone awry between health injuries, work loss, income loss, family problems, legal issues. It's overwhelming for her, and she's very much stressed out. And she really wants to turn it around this year, and so she's asking, how can she turn this around? Okay? So we want, and I know that there are a lot of you out there that are feeling the same way. Not necessarily an 8-year run of this, so much as things are really imploding for a lot of people out there. And so we want to really look at the cycles of change that what I'm hearing, and this is not just for Sandy, but it's for the listeners. When our lives start moving like that, we have to look at what, let me just get this right, what are we resisting? Now, and what happens is, as soon as we start resisting one thing, that, and they're going back to that pocket of shame issue, as soon as we start resisting one thing, it creates a spiral that unless we nip it, if you will, and deal with the one piece, it spirals to more and more because we actually create areas of shame. And the larger the areas of shame, the more we vibrate to attract that which will, that forces us to look within to what we have, are not seeing. So we really need to look at where, again, that emotional timeline, where and what have we not looked at? What part of us are we not allowing? We have a caller on the line. Hello, caller.
Hi, Donna. This is Don.
Hi, Don. How are you?
I'm doing great. I wanted to chime in on the giving part.
Okay, great. Where are you calling from, Don?
I'm calling from Central Washington.
Oh, Washington State, huh?
Uh huh.
Great. Good. So, talk about what did you want to say about that?
Something that sort of bothers me in terms of giving. Our church has a giving program,
okay,
especially at Christmas, but we give year-round because,
uh-huh,
in other words, we have a fund in our church which allows us to if there are real needs, and we have parameters in which we're able to help people in the community and people that are traveling, that break down and all that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes, and sometimes you have to, as part of this program, I have to use, and working with other people, I have to use discernment sometimes to turn people down who have asked us many times for assistance, or we've tried to ask them to become a little more responsible so they won't need it so often.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes, I recognize that, that some people just don't seem to get be able to get it together.
Right.
And it's sort of, you know, and I have this ample, you know, in-between thing about not knowing, not thinking afterward, you know, did I do the right thing? Or did we give them enough? Or did we turn them away without reason? Or, you know, it doesn't bother me as much as it used to.
Well, you know, what's coming forward is that if you have a structured way of giving with your church and organization, and people come to you more often than not, what the underlying request, whether they're conscious of it or not, is that they become aware of their responsibility, and it's almost like what I'm hearing is it's almost like they're asking for rehabilitation based on the multiple requests.
Right.
And that along with the system of giving, I mean, we certainly give with an open heart, but there's a point where that people need to be supported in their receiving.
Right, like we try to offer people help with their budgeting and stuff like that, but most people want to maintain their privacy. They would like help, but they want to be private.
Well, and that's fine. It depends on what your rules are, but the reality is it's really about looking at about is again what I'm hearing is it's really about setting up they're calling it a rehabilitation so that as much as the people want to be private, if in fact they ask more than once, then you as the giver have a right to ask to help them so they become more independent.
Right.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with putting those kind of boundaries on it.
Okay.
And the piece here is, in fact, if you're seeing a pattern, it's really about saying to the person that the second time they come, for example, is that we are very happy to help you. But this is your second request, and what we want to do is support you so that you are able to really become more independent. So we would like to work with you to see how we can help you do that. And that is a stipulation for our giving.
That's good.
You see, and you know, remember there's a, and I don't know scripture, but what the record keepers are reminding me is there's a part of scripture is that when you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day, and you teach him how to fish. He knows how to feed himself for a lifetime.
Yeah, I know that well.
Okay, and I'm not really a religious person, but they throw these quotes in here for me every now and then. But the idea here is, when I say religious, I'm much more spiritual, obviously, than I am from a dogma point of view, but What's important here is that there's nothing wrong with adapting that attitude based on your policies.
Thank you.
The other piece is, you know, Don, you have such a wonderful open heart. And you, what I'm hearing is that you have labored over decisions that you really need to understand that you have affected many, many people being inspired by who you are. Are you aware of that? Hello?
Yeah, well, people have got back to me on that particular that particular thing.
Yeah.
But I want to do it. Well, obviously, the reason I called is we want to do it better. We want to be more effective. In a small town, I mean, the only thing to link up to is, in terms of doing good is churches, generally.
Right.
Because there's really not any so-called spiritual groups that get together that can do what we can do.
Well, sure.
So,
I mean, there may be some,
Within those boundaries, that's why I choose this particular avenue and try to be as effective as I can, you know. But I don't need any ego building. I just, you know, I'm always willing to learn because I know I can do better.
Well, that wasn't being said to build your ego. The reason that was being said was to confirm your heart.
Sure.
That's what the record keepers want you to know. It had nothing to do with ego. It had to do with confirming your heart.
Okay.
Thank you. Yes. And so the idea, and remember that when something is given in love, it's not about ego. It's about love.
Okay. I mistook that.
That's okay. And notice that you know, you being the person that you are, you know, one of the things that you sometimes neglect is giving to you.
Right.
Yeah. And that would be an important thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got it.
Okay.
I certainly appreciate your program. I try to listen often.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I'm so glad you do. But just know how much you're loved.
Thank you.
You're much, very much loved and appreciated on this planet. You know, and Spirit really does appreciate you very much for the work that you do. Okay?
Talk to you next time.
All right, dear. Take care. Bye-bye. Bye. You know, I want you just to take a look and just to notice what a dear heart Don has. But yet it's so hard for us to receive even words of love. Sometimes it embarrasses us, or we don't want to quote unquote get a big head. And you know, my darlings, it's not about that. It's about you being willing to receive the love of the divine that is there for you. And the reality is, you don't have to do anything for it. I mean, if you think about, for those people who are animal lovers, all right, you have a wonderful pet that you love, and that pet loves you unconditionally. When you first met that pet didn't do anything for you, and it was love at first sight. The same way for those people who have children and hold that baby for the first time. That child hasn't done anything for you, but you love that child for the first time you hold it. So we have to know as humans that love is our birthright, and we are divinely loved by Spirit, God, the universe, Source, whatever your word is. Whatever your identification is, Jesus, Muhammad, Buddha, whatever the name is, Shekinah, remember that you are loved by the goddess and the god, that you are loved by all that is divine. And you have partnered with that divine, that divinity, to be on this planet. And part of the partnership is being willing to receive the love and willing to receive the help. And we go back to the idea of receiving, being willing to receive love is in total alignment with being able to manifest and receive prosperity. That's very important for us to know. And so the way that we can do certainly work on our prosperity is to start working on our self-love. Easiest thing in the world. I say that from the record keepers. They think it's the easiest thing in the world, and we all know that working on self-love is not the easiest thing in the world to do. Not at all. So there were some questions out there that didn't get 100% answered. So I would please ask you to call me privately. Let's talk. And we will get your questions answered. Next week is solstice. And I'm actually, for those people who are interested, I'm going to be doing a level one Akashic Records workshop in honor of the solstice. It's going to be the first workshop at Nana's House, which is my healing center that I'm creating here in Cleveland, Ohio. And for those people who would like to attend, I do have a couple of spaces left. Please call me. And we're going to be putting together wonderful events at Nana's House, and would love to have you be a part of it. So, and eventually we'll have a place for you to stay there, but we're not too far from hotels, so it's easy for you to fly in and experience the love that's going to be anchored at Nana's House. So, again, I want to say I love you all. It's almost time for us to close the show. Again, my telephone number is 216-691-1233. I so appreciate you all. I so appreciate you listeners who listen every week. Please tell your friends. We don't have a lot of sponsors here because we get into this and sometimes it's hard to take a break. So if this is something that you would like to see this program flourish and continue, there's a PayPal donation button on the BBS website that you can hit, and it can be whatever, if you found benefit from this program and would like to be able to donate to this program, you just go to my information on the BBS website, and we're under Akashic Wisdom, and it'll say donate to this program. And all donations are appreciated. So, again, if you found benefit and you feel that this is an important program to continue, we would love to have that manifest in those dollars that way. And for those people who would like to talk to me privately, I do half-hour consultations as well as hour consultations, an hour and a half. But most of all, thank you for listening. Thank you for being a part of this service, because every one of you who receives this information and then uses it in your life and tells your friends is expanding the energy of the Akasha. For all your travel plans, please sign up to go to lifepathtravel.com. They've got some great, great bargains there. You can buy a lot of things on lifepathtravel.com. And you can go to ARCI website, that's ARCI. Dash Akashic Records, actually it's Akashic Record Consultants International.org. So we're going to close the show now. We want to thank the masters, teachers, and loved ones for all their wonderful healing information. We ask that all those listening, may their hearts be opened, their burdens be lifted, and may you truly look into the mirror and see into the heart of the divine. And with that, we close the records for the Akashic Wisdom Internet Radio Show on Sunday. Gosh, you know, I just lost the date. December 14th, 2008. Hope you have a wonderful, by saying amen, amen, amen. The records are now closed, and we want to tell you all to have a wonderful, miraculous week. Send in your questions. Call in your questions for next week. I love you all. Have a great, great, great time. Bye-bye.